morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. We certainly want to tell you that we appreciate you taking the time today to be with us. And now we'd like to ask Brother Larry Dishman to come and bring us another message from God's eternal word.
We'll ask you to take your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Isaiah in the 6th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1 of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Then said I, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be great forsaking in the midst of the land." My message comes from verse number 8, where the Bible says, "Who will go for us?" We as the people of God get so wrapped up in our own needs and our own questions that we want to ask God. We never realize that God has some questions that he wants to ask us. The Bible teaches us that a real relationship with God involves our asking some questions and also answering some questions that God has for us. Yes, God has chosen to use human beings to get his message out to the world. The Lord has a job for every Christian to do. And the question was, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" We, amen, need to be obedient, and we need to be sensitive to the voice of God. Way back then, he needed a messenger, and he's asking, "Who is it that'll step out and do this job that I need done?" I thought of the scripture in the book of Matthew and the 9th chapter and verse number 37. And he said, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." We need people who are willing to get involved in serving God and doing God's work. God's looking for someone who is willing to go for Him. How amazing it is that the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, the all-wise God has put His message at the hands of us who are flesh and bones. He chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God is still asking this question, and He's still waiting on an answer. Sometimes it's easy to think that this kind of call is just for the preacher and it's for some others, but you know, it's really not for me because I'm not that important. Well, friend, you are wrong. God has something that He wants you to do for Him. It was Dwight Moody who said, "I am only one, but I am one, and I cannot do everything, but I can do something, and that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do." With that simple commitment, God used that man to bring revival to England and to America. Amen. We need people today who are willing to make a commitment to God. We're in need of a scripture, living it out in our lives, found in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, when the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The work of God demands a vision. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and verse number 18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." A vision without action is only a dream. God's got a question: who will go for us? It's becoming all too easy in our society where we have people paid to do special jobs to think that sharing Christ, it's not my gift. It's not my responsibility. But friend, you're altogether wrong. It is your job to share Christ. It is your responsibility. Isaiah responds immediately. And oh, I would to God we could have more people like Isaiah. "Lord, here I am. Send me." Amen. Oh, I wonder what this country would be like today if all professing Christians would get a hold of a vision, make a commitment, and answer this call of God. "Lord, here I am." Too often we pray for God to send somebody else to take care of the work of the kingdom. And we might even tell ourselves, "We're too busy to do the work of the kingdom. We're too busy on our job to get involved." But friend, these excuses are unacceptable to a jealous God. God is a jealous God. And what I like about Isaiah, he didn't have to check his calendar first to see if he was too booked up to get involved in what God wanted him to do. He doesn't look around and see, "Well, maybe somebody else will step forward and do this job." Amen. But as soon as he told God that he was available, God said, "Go." All Isaiah had to do is go and deliver it. It's all about going. Psalms 126 and verse number 5 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth, who shall go for me?" The psalm says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." This is the gospel message. In the book of Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse number 19, "Go ye therefore." And God said, "Who will go for us?" Amen. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world."
That was then, and this is now. Instead of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, as the Lord commanded, the modern church won't even take the gospel to the end of the street. Yes, dear ones, 95% of all Christians, the statistics say, has never won a soul to Jesus Christ. 80% of all Christians do not consistently witness for Jesus Christ. Less than 2% are involved in the ministry of evangelism. 71% do not give towards financing of the Great Commission. Who will go for us? The mandate, the Great Commission, is to go. He that winneth souls is wise. In order to win souls, you got to go. Amen. The word go has action. We cannot go if we're sitting still. We cannot go if we stay where we are. We cannot go if we do not make a move. Someone might say, well, I can't go into all the world. You expect me to go in all the world and preach the gospel? That's too great of a task. Who in the world nowadays, with our jobs and what we got to do and our families, we can't go into all the world and preach the gospel. But every one of us can go to our world. We all have a world that we can go to. Your world is your job, your neighborhood, your family, your school, your college. And an audience this size, if that's as far as we go to that world, friend, whether we realize it or not, in a month's time, we come in contact with thousands of people. Most of the time, most people in a month's time come in contact with thousands of people. So you don't have to go to Florida to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And thank God for missionaries, but you can be a missionary wherever you live. Amen. God makes it clear to Isaiah that in going, there's going to be little fruit for his obedience. Amen. This must have been a tough pill to swallow. After he agrees to go, God tells him, you're not going to be able to accomplish that much. Outwardly, looking at it. And you can enthusiastically tell the Lord you're willing to go for him, and he tells you the job's going to be hard. And not only that, you're going to labor, you're going to work, and there's not going to be much fruit. God's call on our life to share the gospel is not based on whether or not we have great results. It's based on our obedience to follow God and do what he asks us to do. Preaching, even when people reject, serves a function. It judges the sinner of their sins. In judgment day, they will not stand without knowledge of their sins. Amen. But be reminded in Isaiah 55 and verse number 1, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. You're not wasting time when you're doing what God asks you to do, because there's a promise in the Word of God that God's Word will not return void. It's going to accomplish the very thing in which it was sent. What about Noah, who preached all those years and ended up with 8 souls? But he was faithful to God. He did what God asked him to do. Too many don't like to serve God if they don't get great results. Isaiah, amen, he asked, how long, O Lord, will there be this lack of fruit in our ministry? And the answer wasn't too encouraging. Listen to the answer when he asked God, how long? He said, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and raged, and until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. Friend, this couldn't have been encouraging for this man. It meant hard work with little show positively. How many of us are willing to serve God when there's little glory in it? How many are willing to serve God when they have to do those jobs that it's not glamorous, what we call the dirtier jobs? How many are willing to serve God when they can't be put up front and don't follow through when the job is hidden? Well, if I do that, nobody will see me. I'll be tucked away, nobody will see. Well, we're not doing it to be seen of men. We're working for God. There's some demands that must be met. If you're considering answering the call, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's some demands that must be met. However, just with any job, there's some requirements in order to do the work of the Lord. And the work of the Lord demands a vessel. And it not only has to be a vessel, it has to be a holy vessel. The Lord tells us to come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The word holy means to be set apart for a purpose. So we've got to be a holy vessel if we're going to answer the call and say, Lord, here am I, send me. We must be set apart for the purpose of doing the work of God. And not only do we got to be a holy vessel, we got to be an humble vessel. God cannot use a proud man. God cannot use a man that thinks too much of himself. Because the Bible says in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. The Lord wants to use us, not because of who we are, but because he chooses to do so. If we will not allow God to use us, if we will not answer the call, he will find someone who'll answer the call. The Lord is everything and we are nothing. But we can remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So not only does it have to be a holy vessel and an humble vessel, it must be an honoring vessel. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:20, for them that honor me, I will honor. The Lord is worthy of our respect. He's worthy of our reverence. The Lord is Lord of kings and Lord of all. And we should say, holy, holy, holy thou art. Amen. We should seek to honor him with our life. The work of the Lord demands spiritual vitality. Amen. The Lord imparted spiritual life unto us when we were saved. And the Bible talks about that in the book of St. John in the 1st chapter in verse number 12, where it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And the book of Acts said in the 1st chapter in verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. To do the work of the Lord, we must be spiritual filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we do in the energy of the flesh. The work of the Lord demands that we live spiritual lives. Too much today, I fear, has been done in the flesh. Amen. We have to give of our time. To go, it takes time. The Word of God tells us to redeem the time, or in other words, make the very best of your time. How do we spend our daily allotment of time? He gives us all 24 hours a day. It's up to us how we use our time. We ought to give some time back to God for all that he's done for us. And we need to give God our talents. A talent is an ability or capability that comes naturally or is something that we've learned. And everyone has talent. Some way, somewhere in your life, you have talent. You may have buried it, but you have talent. But are you using your talent for God? Amen. It may be mutual talent. Something is done with your hands. It may be a ministry like singing, teaching, helping. Whatever it is, use it for God. We need to give of our lives. The Lord was so merciful to us when we were lost and undone and on our road, on the road that leads to hell, how God called us and He sought after us and He kept being long-suffering with us and patient with us and kept dealing with us. He could have turned His back on us, but He kept going after us till one day we yielded. He's been so good to us. We have so many blessings from the Lord. Shouldn't we do something in return for all that God has done for us? Health, family, and job. We should respond to His blessings by giving Him our life. The work of the Lord demands a vision, a vessel, a life of vitality, and a willing volunteer. Christian, I want to ask you a question. Are you really in the work of God? Someone said, I come to church, ask my pastor, I'm there every time. The door is open, friend. God just didn't save you to come to church. God saved you because He loved you, and God's got a job for you. And if all God wanted to do is just save you, He'd just go ahead and take you to heaven the night you got saved. But He's got a job for you. The call to God, for God's people, is to go. Real ministry has only small moments of glamour, but it takes a lot of guts. We're setting the pattern for our children to follow in obeying God. What are they learning from our example? Most men and women called by God, if you read the history of the church, had a tough road to follow. Their work was hard, and many times their rewards were few. Isaiah is not discouraged from his ministry by the word that it's going to be hard. That didn't discourage him. He didn't quit because it was hard. God will sustain us in the work that He calls us to do. And if God is calling you to do something for Him, that means He's going to give you the grace and He's going to give you the ability to do what He's asked you to do, because He don't ask us to do nothing without giving us the power to do it. Isaiah's preaching will eventually bear fruit, if not in his lifetime, in some other generation. Let me tell you something. Ministers, be encouraged. Ministers' wives, be encouraged. Ministry cannot always be judged by the here and now. We must also be ready to go one more time, even after repeated failures, because it may be in the next generation, if time lasts, somewhere down the road, that people will remember your love and your labor for the Lord. David asked a question in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter and verse number 29, is there not a cause? Do we believe there's a cause for doing the work of the Lord? The question, who will go for us, is still there today. And I believe God is still asking that question, who will go for us? How about you? Each one individually, will you go? Young people, will you consecrate your life to God? Will you say, Lord, I'm willing to go. I will go. Here am I. Send me. I'm talking to everyone, middle age. Someone said, I'm too old. Now, no, you're not too old. God said, who will go for us? Our message is simple. It's a message of hope for the hurting, life to the dead, and peace to the tormented. As I read this scripture today, in my mind's eye, I see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and they're looking down on this old sinful world, and they're looking at the lost condition, a world that God gave His Son, in a world that Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die for. It cost the Holy Spirit an age-long ministry of dealing and wooing with hearts of men. And as God sees the condition of this old world, and I see God still asking the question, who's going to go for us? Running out of time. Who will go for us? We are running out of time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. God says, I have a plan to save the world, but he needs personnel. He needs you. God has a message, but he needs a messenger who will go for us. Who? This work demands some volunteers. God asked another question in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 5. Who then is willing? I like these kind of scriptures. Not really putting pressure on you. He's not threatening nobody. He's just lovingly asking, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Isaiah responded to the Lord's call. Here am I. Send me. He wanted to be used of God. God initiates the call, but it's my choice. It's your choice to accept or decline God's invitation. Who will go for us? Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for that soul-searching message that you've given us today. If you would like to receive a copy of today's radio broadcast, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. We want to remind you of our periodical called The Gospel Trumpeter. If you would like to have an issue of that sent to your home each month at no cost, please give us a call at that same number, 345-1213. Or for any previous issues that you would like to have, please browse our website at godsacres.org. Once again, we'd like to invite each and every one of you out to the services at God's Acres today. Sunday school begins at 9:30. Morning worship begins at 10:45. At 5 o'clock this evening, our young people meet, as well as the evening prayer service. Our evening worship service will start at 6 o'clock. If you should happen to need transportation to the service, please feel free to give us a call at that number, 740-345-1213. I see that our time has gone again, but before we leave, this is Fred Barrows saying thank you for listening today. And hopefully you will join us again next week at the same time. So until then, we trust that God will give you a good week.